Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh, Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton. And Josh Brown.
Oh, hey, wow. Guys.
Hey.
How are you, Kenny? How are you, JT?
I'm okay. I'm finally recovered from the abuse that I took yesterday in the podcast. You guys just treat me like trash, and I just don't know. You know, I should turn in my 2-week notice. I got to be honest. I should turn in my 2-week notice and stay at home, be a stay at home dad, and just.
I hear Chatting Average is looking for a new somebody to add to their twosome to make it a threesome.
Oh,
you know what I mean.
I don't think they're interested in me. Let's be 100%.
I don't know. I think they enjoy that kind of stuff.
I think if I joined their team, I would join their podcast, but it would just turn into a chat about early 90s pro wrestling.
Oh, that would make it.
The underratedness of the Big Boss Man.
That podcast would probably explode, to be honest, if you did that, JT. The Big Boss Man could sell. I'm just saying. He could work.
Hey.
Yeah.
Listen, I've got connections with Alex and what's the other guy's name? Alex and
I've got connections. I just don't remember their names.
the big chop man guy. Cam. Alex and Cam. I know those guys. And so if I can get you on the show I would do that for you. Because you've done a lot for us.
Thanks.
And so if you need a place to go, we can hook you up. So they kind of make it seamless. Okay, so.
I think I'll be okay. Yeah.
So you're not out of a job.
I used to just call into their show and leave them voicemails of random impressions of random wrestlers just for the hell of it.
Yeah. Hey, then you could get like one of the Mansplain girls to come host this show for you, Josh. Like we just do like a hokey pokey swap around.
Yeah, but what I...
Like they do in Helen?
I learned a lot about that. I don't know.
They're good. They're a good podcast. People should check them out. Guys, baseball is back this week. Josh, I know you're blatantly unexcited, but I'm actually kind of getting a little bit excited about baseball. JT, how are you feeling about it before we get into Josh's depressing monologue?
You guys see these?
Yeah.
See these nipples?
Are they?
I'm excited. I'm excited. Feel them cutting right.
Oh my gosh, your poor shirt. Your poor shirt is going to like rip open like full on Hulk Hogan mode.
So a brand new Tampa Bay Lightning polo. I'm very excited.
You're gonna look like a 40-year-old woman at a Motley Crue t-shirt at a Motley Crue show.
Nah, I can't wait. I'm very excited for baseball. I like the idea of 60 games just being like full tilt.
Yeah,
you know, here we go until the Braves are like 3-7, and I'm like season's
over. Right. Yeah, all the people that freaked out
usually
before
at the beginning of a season.
All the people that freaked out over one game now it's like freaking out over three games in one. Yeah, right.
They have a point. Yeah. Braves open up 0-2. Season's over. Now I'd laugh at them. Now I'm like, they made a point. It might be over.
The cool thing is the season could turn around just as fast though in a season like that. And that's the interesting part of it. I enjoyed talking with Doug and Robbie last week and kind of getting their take on it. I don't know if you guys got to listen back to that, but it was a lot of fun to hear them kind of saying how they thought it'd be pretty interesting, especially going down the stretch.
It's a perfect excuse for baseball to run a weird science experiment, you know, and just be like, you know what, why not put the guy on second base at the beginning of the extra innings? And why not have a designated hitter everywhere?
It doesn't count anyway, right? It's like it's not even going to be a real season unless we win it all.
It's not. And it's not a real season.
Unless the Braves win it all, I'm not even counting it as a real season. If the Braves win it all, it's like the most real season that there's ever been. But if not, it doesn't count, right? Be honest.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's going to be like bizarro baseball, but whatever. It's cool. It's gonna be fun. It's better than, I guess it's better than nothing, because I've had a lot of nothing.
All right, Josh the Intimidator.
I tried soccer.
Dale Earnhardt glasses on. He's trying to be intimidating right now. Josh, let us know your hurtful, hard feelings about baseball and why you're not excited about it.
I don't care about the shortened season and the weird rules. I mean, I do care. I was bitching about that pretty early on. But I'm sorry, no fans, no baseball. Simple as that
well,
for me.
Well, you know, we did have a source contact us today, very credible source, and say that the Braves are actually planning to have, or are making plans to possibly have up to 10,000 fans in attendance as early as August at games.
We did hear that from a source. This is a real source. So, that's awesome.
Make it up, BS.
I will start watching if that happens.
I mean, what else are they going to do though, Josh? Like,
not just don't have the season because people are stupid this year. This year is stupid. People are so stupid. They've lost their minds. Teachers have lost their minds. You know, we got to save all the teachers. We can't go back to school in the fall because the teachers. Meanwhile, you know, everybody else is working full time during this, you know, health crisis that's laid off millions of healthcare workers. So I'm sorry, baseball, you're stupid. You're a bunch of morons, and you don't have fans. If you don't have fans, you don't have baseball.
Mm. But don't you think people will buy into it since there's nothing else for people?
Oh,
to buy
I 100% do. Yeah, I mean, I tweeted about this about a week ago. I said in 1 week we're going to have opening day, and there will be people like myself who will complain about no fans, and which is a sensible gripe, I think, very sensible gripe. And those people will be shamed and called stupid because people are terrible in 2020. And I think that's going to happen. I think that. Complaining about no fans is akin to complaining about clean water, or dirty water. I mean, like, it's so – that is what sports are. There are some things that have been maybe, like, okay, but it's been a little – like, golf is a little different, in my opinion, than football or basketball or baseball, and I'm sure you'll disagree, but – you can kind of watch golf and you don't really notice the fans, but you know, and then the dumbest people to me are the ones online. That's like, you don't watch the game because of the fans. Well, of course not. Of course not. But it is a huge element of it. It just is. And
yeah,
so,
there's
and
a,
so
yeah.
my, I'm not like, I often am salty over silly things and petty things. Cause I'm petty. Like I get it. I own it. I'm salty over like the DH stuff or just pitch count or you know what I mean, like things like that. But this isn't one of those things, in my opinion. I think when you take out all the fans, that is not baseball. It's just not. And I'm not saying don't. I mean, I don't really mean, I guess, not to have the season, because I understand that there's nothing, and I do appreciate. A very small part of me reluctantly appreciates the fact that there is going to be at least something, perhaps. But I'm out. I'm not excited at all about baseball with no fans. I'm just not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm quite as down on it as you are. It's going to be weird.
It is weird. I watched the Cubs White Sox last night, and it was totally strange seeing like nobody in Wrigley Field. It does. From a television product standpoint, it's different. Like it does NASCAR, you don't notice as much. Golf, you don't notice as much, because those sports aren't based off the crowd. Like you don't get a home field advantage in golf. You don't get a home track advantage.
Yeah, that's
in
not 100% true on golf, but you don't in NASCAR for sure.
Well, I mean, you got courses a guy might play at because he's very experienced there. Same with racetracks.
Well, like
if
Cooch is playing at the Masters,
he knows some stuff.
There's going to be a lot more people say Cooch in the in the stands than if he's playing in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure. Yeah, but you know, it's not like look, if it's the end of the season and the AL East is decided on the final game, and say the Red Sox are playing at Yankee Stadium and no one's there. That makes a totally different game from a television standpoint, because it should be packed with fans going crazy. You know what I mean? It should have that playoff atmosphere. You can't have playoff atmosphere.
I'm reserving some
judgment
until I see how they broadcast the games, because these preseason intra-squads have been atrocious as far as camera work and all that stuff. But it's mainly just because they like don't even have like their big camera crews there. Nobody, they're not even calling the game from in the stadium. They're calling it from like a studio somewhere else. And like, so I hate it. I do not enjoy watching that. Like, I enjoy kind of keeping up with the players, but I just mute the TV because I don't want to hear it anyway. But like, I'm interested to see what happens.
Oh, I think it's going to do wonders for
radio. Yeah,
it might
be really good for radio.
Like, because I'll definitely, you could just tell your Siri or whatever, or Alexa to pick up the Braves radio network, and then boom, put the game on mute. And
well, Josh, just imagine, imagine, you know? Josh, you're listening to the radio. They pipe in a little background crowd noise. How would you even know that it wasn't like real crowd noise at a game?
Whatever.
No, I'm asking. Like, I'm not even trying to be a jerk. I'm just.
I mean, because I would know. Because I would know. That's my answer.
Okay.
I
don't know. Okay. All right.
I think it's. I know I can be silly and all that and like be a hot take machine, but
says the guy wearing dark black sunglasses while recording at night.
But really, I think that having no fans in a baseball stadium is, and griping about that and not being cool about that, it is the epitome of a sensible take. Like that is like, and I'm telling you, it's going to happen. People like me over the next few months or whatever will complain about it. And you sent us that video of that guy griping. Yeah. It's like that New Yorker guy griping about it. And if you read the replies, it's like anything. It's like COVID. You know what I mean? There's no – everything's so extreme, like black and white. So,
yep.
You have to align
with a group think or you're a bad guy. I hate what fandom has become.
It's terrible.
Especially because of Twitter. Like, I saw someone this week, and, like, we used to make fun of these people. And the problem now is I can't even make fun of people because the group think is so stupid about it.
Right.
So, like, I saw some idiot this week post – Acuna should cut his hair. I wish the Braves would be more clean cut like the Yankees, right? Now, I've always enjoyed making fun of those people because that's a dumb take. In my opinion, it's a dumb take. Mm-hmm. But the people on Twitter lose their minds saying it's racist. And I'm like, no, you idiots. It's not racist. There's nothing racist about it. It's not dog whistling. It's not gaslighting. It's a guy simply saying that he likes his baseball players to be a particular type of image and clean cut. That's perfectly allowable, and I'm allowed to perfectly think he's an idiot for that take without thinking he's a freaking racist. But on Twitter, like 4,000 people dogpile him trying to call him a racist, and I want to, like, suddenly I'm like, well, I think all the Braves should get a dang haircut because I just want you all to be proven that he's not a freaking racist. He's just a fan that wants particular things from his players.
What about Willie Nelson catching all kinds of shit when he grew out his hair? Was that racist? What about Charlie Daniels wrote a song about it? You know what I mean? Was it racist when people said, hey, Charlie, you should cut your hair? Was that racist? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, was it racist when I made fun of Bronson Arroyo's cornrows? You know what I mean? Was it racist when myself and probably many other Braves fans like made stupid jokes about Jacob DeGrom's long girly hair? Like, is that racist? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the best part of that tweet was I think it was a troll tweet. First of all, I think it was a troll.
Yeah, it probably was.
I think like 80 people got taken, and it was hilarious. That cape guy, like he just love.
He seems like a good guy, he's trying.
Man, but
Lord
Almighty, it's like we get it, man. You're not racist. That's awesome. We're not either. Like, you don't have to.
It feels like a lot of people trying to virtue signal over something that needed no virtue signaling. Like,
you're
allowed to be a fan, and just because you have a bad fan opinion doesn't mean you're a bad person.
The funny part about the tweet is he said. The tweet was tactfully brilliant, in my opinion, because it throws shade at Acuna's dreadlocks and says that he wishes that they could be more like the Yankees. So by By calling him a racist, you are, by proxy, also calling the Yankees organization racist for mandating
making players get a shave and
clean shaven policy. So that to me, that was the funny part about the whole thing. Yeah.
I mean, like, look, I don't agree with the guy, but you can make, let me just give a few arguments of why it's not racist. Like, it might be a bad take, but there's nothing wrong with saying that the Braves way is not about individualism. Like, all players, like, I think, like, if you were going to take this opinion, there, and there's a lot of people on Facebook that will inform you of this, that Dansby should get a haircut because his hair's too long. Like, I've seen people say that gladly. Like, it's not a race thing. It's people right.
Shouldn't
the cornrows are terrible.
Sure.
We made fun of Dansby for that, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, every team has a dress code when you're on the road. Every team has a dress code when you're on the team bus. And why they do that? Well, it's about professionalism. It's about being a professional team.
It's about being a team. Like, on top of that, like,
I think
not,
what it is,
and say,
hey,
just me.
How we're going to present ourselves.
It's
right.
This weird, stupid, like, group thought that if you say anything negative, okay, anything. Like, remember two years ago, somebody, an announcer, kind of threw shade at Addison Russell for not hustling.
Yeah.
And remember that? Remember the replay?
Yep,
he clearly did not hustle, and that guy was called a racist.
Keith Law called him out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, we live in this stupid, dumbass society where if you say anything disparaging about a person of color, you're considered racist, which I think belittles
a person of color.
A person of color. You're basically saying that they're weak, and you need to defend everything, and they can't be ever questioned about anything.
Well, it's the most racist statement you could be. It's like saying all white people are good because they're white. Like, saying all black people are good because they're black is just as racist. Like, it's just as stupid, you know?
Also, Cape, when you call someone a racist for saying that they don't like dreadlocks, that means that you just associated dreadlocks with black people. Well, I'm not trying to, like, I'm not
John
trying to
Jaso,
sound morally
anybody?
Superior, even though I am morally superior to many of these people. But when I think of dreadlocks, I lived in Oregon. In Oregon for a while, and I think of, like, stinky-ass white hippies.
Only person I know with dreadlocks is a white guy.
Also,
like, 100% honest.
Not to sound morally superior again, even though I am, obviously. But when I think of nooses, fun fact, I think of cowboys. And that scene in Robin Hood where he shoots the arrow through the noose. I think of white guys, cowboys getting hung on the prairie when I think of nooses. So just saying.
I remember one time
it's
watching a Braves game. I was watching a game with my dad, and there was a slow dribbler to first base, and Adam LaRoche went up and got it and lollygagged back to the bag, and the runner beat him out to first. And my dad was like, oh my God, look at numbnuts over here. Adam LaRoche sucks. He's lazy. And that's when I realized my dad hates the
French. Yes. Well, the French deserve the hate. The French deserve the hate. Let's be honest. It's the one. French people are the one person that you can be racist against and no one actually cares. You know?
And Italians. Italians, too.
That's true. Italians, too. Yeah. Although Italians I kind of like feel for because they might come kill you, leave a horse head in your bed
or
something.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, like.
Yeah. Tony Graffinino is going to hear what you said about his war.
Exactly.
What's funny, like, so the whole when the Braves signed Puig. We all live in, like, different bubbles, different virtual bubbles. But in my virtual bubble, it seemed to me that, like, maybe two people were upset about it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then about 800 people were griping about those two people as if they were racist because they didn't like Yasiel Puig because of the way he played the game.
And then the people losing their minds because Jeff Schultz had the audacity to question whether you should sign Yasiel Puig after losing your clubhouse leader in Nick Markakis.
Yeah.
First of all, watching Jeff Schultz about as far left as you can get.
Right.
So to see a leftist question signing Yasiel Puig and, like, other leftists
brain-breaking,
trying to figure out how to call Jeff Schultz trash, because I saw that. Let's see. Brace Prospects called him trash. Dylan Short called him trash.
Yep.
A lot of people called him trash. Right. And, like, I'm fine if you think Schultz is trash. We don't, because I think Jeff Schultz is actually a really good dude, even if we don't agree on politics.
I love Jeff Schultz. He's great.
And,
great guy.
And he, Jeff Schultz loves to write the heel and the, like,
yeah, man, that's
the
his,
heel
that's
sort
his deal.
Of article.
And he's
like,
really
he's
good
the
at
heel.
It. Yeah,
right.
He's great. Yeah. But that was that's a great point. It was hilarious because you're right. All the woke Braves Twitter, you know, they just wait for, like, that one redneck at Braves Rebel 68, you know, like to say, I don't like the way Yasiel Puig plays the game. And then, like, 800 of them, like, for 3 days tweet about how racist the Braves fan base is. And
yeah,
then,
they're so self-important.
And then Schultz, yeah. Who's so, like, you know, nobody champions, like, you know, black lives.
In one tweet, Schultz,
you know,
is telling us all how the Braves need to do more to remove the chop.
Right.
And then that they've removed the sign. And in the next tweet, he questions them signing Yasiel Puig.
Right, it's beautiful.
And people are like, right. He's such a racist. He's such a racist. I mean.
Yeah. And you can have legitimate questions about Yasiel Puig when he was in L.A. He had some discipline issues. Like, not
and we've
showing
been
up
adamant.
In practice, like, showing up for the game
we've
30
been adamant
minutes beforehand.
That we like Puig.
Like, we like Puig.
There's
yeah.
still legitimate questions.
Didn't he get a speeding ticket
yes.
doing, like, 135
yeah, but that's
in his
awesome.
Ferrari or something like that? Like, that's just dumb. Probably, like, you're going to die. Dumb. Like, stop cool. doing that. Like, yeah. you're going to kill somebody. That's okay to be like, you can call somebody
and
an
then,
idiot for doing that.
Yo,
what
and
if he
then
kills somebody?
When he gets COVID, and here's what's funny to me. Like, so dude gets COVID. But is asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically fine. He's like, I feel fine. I'm asymptomatic. So then the Braves say they can't sign him because he's asymptomatic, essentially. The same woke people who would call you racist for saying that you don't like the way Yasiel Puig plays the game are then almost like giddy that the Braves don't sign him because he has COVID. And I really wanted to call them the racist, but I didn't because I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah. We've lost the ability to allow fans to have bad opinions and like players that nobody else likes. And I mean, it's okay if people don't agree with you. Like, 100%, it does not make them a bad person because they don't agree with your baseball take. This is why Talking yeah. Chop blocked us, and we've made fun of them for 2 years because they blocked us over making fun of a baseball take. Like, a baseball take. Like, we literally pointed out that you had a bad opinion about a baseball take, and you got upset and blocked us. Like,
and then you
it's
blocked
baseball.
anybody that likes Nakoma Nishi Buckley. Did I ever tell y'all, like, Chris Willis called me that one time, and he was like, he's a really nice guy, first of all, like, super nice guy, but I, based on, like, his Twitter presence, I thought, like, it was gonna be, like, the city, like, ITP, like, you know, inside the perimeter kind of guy, and dude, like, tossed like this right here, he's like, hey, man, I'm Chris Willis. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, you're a redneck, and he goes, man, I got, I'm looking at it right now, man. I got like 87 people blocked, but I'll unblock them right now if you promise to stop trolling. And I said, I can't promise I'm going to do that, Chris.
Well, I've heard since that time that they blocked other podcasts and stuff too, especially Eric Cole. But but like, it's weird because, and I'm not, this wasn't about trying to get onto the Talking Chop thing as much as it is. I think it's just like that's the thermometer of like, where Twitter has gotten to now, to where social media, you simply cannot disagree with someone without everyone screaming about your motive. Like,
right,
Josh, you and I have had multiple debates on the podcast about having a difference of opinion about homosexual orientations and conservatism and different things. Mm-hmm. But, like, you and I are good buddies, and I don't think you're a bad person, and you don't think I'm a terrible person because we disagree in some nuances of, like, personal opinion about life. And I even can understand your points of view and respect them and just think, like, that's not the I don't value those things as much as you do. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean, like, we hate each other or that we hate other people simply because we disagree about something. And even in politics, I get that politics sometimes it looks like you're targeting people or there's some kind of indirect bias or something like that, but now stretch it back to baseball. None of that matters. Like, baseball is literally baseball. Like, I'm allowed to like Nick Markakis even if you don't. Like, 100%. And I'm allowed to not like Nick Markakis if you do. You know, like, yeah. it's all right. It's okay, people. And I'm not a racist or a white supremacist because I do or don't. You know, it's frustrating.
People are mean. People are really mean, and
but they think they're not being mean. That's right. What's funny about it.
A great example of that is the other night, Jeff, our buddy Jeff Schultz, tweeted about he was tweeting about Freddie Freeman, and you know Freddie had COVID, and you know Freddie reports to the stadium and did that press conference and kind of talked about his experience, and it sounded really bad. I mean, it sounded like he felt like crap for 3 days, and I mean, he sounded like he was fearful for his life.
He had like 104 degree fever and felt like a train ran over him. I mean, it's like,
yeah, man.
The flu,
yeah, so,
a ramped up version of the flu. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
So Schultz is tweeting about that. Well, Schultz quoted, or he quote tweeted Freddie's take on how he basically was fearing for his life. And when he quoted it, Schultz said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically was like, you know, all you people that are calling this a hoax should feel silly right now, right? That's basically what he said. Well, this one guy comments and said, hey, we're not calling it a hoax. We're just saying that the numbers seem to be maybe inflated a little bit, and the media just, you know, kind of, he said something about like how the media is just embellishing or something, which I think is a very reasonable and sensible thing to say right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he said that, all silliness aside, it like broke my heart a little bit, because there was people that I just like on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name names, who were just dunking on this guy, calling this guy a piece of shit and like a terrible person and like an effing moron, and I'm like, why having a difference of opinion and questioning something that I think is a reasonable thing to question, especially after like Dr. Birx herself has said, hey guys, I think there's like probably like about a 25% inflated numbers here because of the, I mean, she said that, right? So anyways, but they do it and they think they're being kind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't understand that. You're not kind. You're so mean and malicious, and you're doing it under this veil of, you're caring about others and you're in this together, and you're cussing this guy out for no reason at all. And it's like, I see these people, I'm like, I thought they were better than this, you know, but I don't know if they are. Maybe they're just
I read an interesting quote by Thomas Sowell one day this week. And I don't know if Josh, I think you're a little bit familiar with Thomas Sowell. He's a black philosopher / economist and very conservative fella, but had some really good values. And he said what concerned him most about politics today is that a lot of conservatives, a whole lot of conservatives, started out as Democrats. So they have empathy to people on the left. He talked about himself, that he started out on the left. He talked about Milton Friedman.
I'm not a politician, but
right.
I started
out
on the left.
You started out very much on the left. People like Dave Rubin started out far on the left. You know, I mean, he's still a married gay man, right? Like, that's still not a conservative position. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's not a conservative position at all. But they've now moved, and I don't even know if they've moved right as much as the right has had to encompass them somewhat, you know, because the left has moved so far left. But the problem is the conservative side over here now has empathy towards people that are still on the left. Like, they can remember what it was like to think that way and why they thought that way. And so there's a measure of empathy there. But people on the left, especially young people, and I think when I say the left, I don't just mean political left, but I mean these leftist built systems like Twitter that's very much groupthink oriented, right? Like, it's built upon leftist type principles, that those people don't have empathy for people on the right because they've never been in their shoes and they don't know what it's like to think those people aren't being racist. They just have a different worldview. Like,
Right.
And it's like when I look at people on the left, most of them, I don't think that most, I think there is an extreme that is, but I think most people on the left are just like, they're just people, you know, and they have a worldview based off of the things they've been taught and seen and experienced. Yeah. And I think there's even value in that worldview. I just don't think it should be completely unchecked.
I think there's a lot of leaders. I think there's a lot of political leaders and media leaders who have influenced people on the left. Okay, to believe, and I really mean believe, that anybody on the right is not just different, but racist and mean and misogynistic and all these things. And so when you're a 22-year-old, you know, person on the left, many of them think they're socialists, right? When you're that person and you are fed that information all the time, all of the time, then you really do believe it in your heart. You truly believe that your parents or your uncle, who is a Trump supporter, is a racist. And so, so you, Ken, as a conservative Christian guy, like when you see a person on the left, you don't think bad person, you think different person.
Yeah.
They see a person on the right, they don't think different person, they think bad person. And
yeah.
I think, unfortunately, and there are good, you know, they're like,
of course, there are people like, right.
In my opinion, like Jeff Schultz is a good person. He doesn't think this way, but there's a lot, especially young people on the left, who think that way. And it's kind of scary, actually, because what it does is you can't have a conversation with them.
Nope.
I mean, I've even
try to say that there's a lot of similarities and that we have empathy and that there's places that we all have agreement on, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even saying that, that's what a racist would say.
Right,
that's the way the debate gets framed. And at that point, like, there is no further debate. You've called me a racist. You've literally called me about the worst thing that there is in existence. So, like, we can't have a conversation at that point.
And it honestly makes me, what's funny about that is it makes me appreciate like grace and like God's grace and stuff like that. And like understanding that now, like I haven't before, because, you know, we talked about like the flag, like NASCAR cancels the flag. And I think the flag's stupid. And I've told you guys, like, there's nothing that I love to make fun of more than the idiot flying the American flag next to the rebel flag, because it's just so funny to me. Because you're on one hand, you're saying you're a patriot, and then you're like sporting the people who like were non-patriots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like what I'm saying is, like, so all the rednecks at Talladega waving the flag, I don't know them personally, but like I know those people, like, a lot of them are good people, and to them, the flag just meant like, "I'm proud
flag,
to be from the South."
They never thought that flag meant the majority of them. Not
that
all,
is what they,
but
that,
the majority
yeah.
of them.
Right.
The flag didn't have anything to do with slavery or even the Civil War. Let me be honest; it had to do with a culture and lifestyle of the South.
And
right?
You can't get there. You can't get there mentally and emotionally unless you have empathy or understanding about a different person. And
Brad Paisley and LL Cool J wrote a song together about this. Like, it wasn't a very... it was cheesy.
It was a bad song.
But it was literally them just saying, hey, man, that flag means different things to me than it does to you, and we should, like, try to understand each other.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and that's like the Washington Redskins. It's not going to offend us. It shouldn't offend us. It's not meant to offend us. But you have to understand this. Probably people that the name Redskin does offend. Federal flag doesn't offend me, but I got to understand there's some people I know that it probably offends.
And
then the debate has
to become, should I change it just because somebody's offended? Right. Like, and I don't think you always should. Like, I don't think you should, like, offense, first of all, is in the person that's offended, not in the intent of the offender most of the time, at least 99% of the time. So, like, it's like, I listened to a guy from Australia on Twitch a while back, and he said, you guys in America are raised to not use certain language, right? But me in Australia, like, and when I actually had this experience when I went to Australia on a mission trip when I was 13, we went to a church our bus driver was from that church, and she said damn, like, a lot, like every other word kind of thing. To them, damn's not a cuss word. Like, no, Australian culture does not consider damn like a cuss word. So, like, she's saying it in church and out of church, and it's like, it's really awkward to us Americans. We're kind of like, this is weird, you know? Like, we're not used to hearing this. And then I hear the preacher say damn. And it's not that, like, you guys know me, I don't think cussing is inherently anything to do with it. It's just the moral code. Like, if your preacher got up on Sunday and said a bunch of cuss words, you'd be a little shocked at it, especially when you're 13 years old like I was. You know, like, you'd be like, whoa, like, I don't think you're supposed to do that. You know, like, that's not the way this really works. And yeah. So, like, being in that experience, I think in the same way, and what the Twitch guy was saying is, he said, if I'm not trying to offend you, like, if I'm not saying a word with the intent of insulting Josh Brown, mm-hmm. then I did nothing wrong inherently.
Yeah.
Like, if I say the Redskins and I'm talking about the Washington football team and that's all I've ever known them as, there is nothing about me saying that if I don't intend it to, it's not meant as an insult to Indians, right? Like, there's nothing about that that's meant as an insult to Native Americans of any sort. Mm-hmm. So, the offense is in the person that's offended if my intent was not to offend you. You know what I'm saying? Like, now, if I'm out here and I'm using words intentionally filled with hate, trying to be hateful towards people with intent, like, that's on me. But, like, if you're just getting offended because I'm saying popcorn every three seconds and you, like, identify yeah. yourself as popcorn, and that's a slang word about you, is you think I'm talking about you when I say popcorn, like that's in you. That's not me.
Well, I think with the Confederate flag, though, a lot of times when you see people brandishing it in public, they're doing it for the shock value of doing it. They're doing it to get people to look at me.
Maybe,
look
yeah.
I'm you know, redneck, and they want people to be, you know, they want people to recoil a little bit. They get off on that, you know. I mean, because look, honestly, like, yeah, there are some people who just appreciate the Southern heritage and whatever, but then why do you need it on the back of your pickup truck? You know what I mean? Like, put a picture of a Confederate flag in the walls of your own home, but you want to show it to all these other people.
But you should be allowed to show your identity to other people, right?
Yeah, but I know people that are
why don't you put a cross on the back of your truck?
Irish. You
know,
you don't see them without I don't see people putting an Irish flag on the back of their truck because you know their last name is McGillicuddy or whatever.
No, they just go to the pub, you know, like all the time and fight.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I mean, like, look, I've got friends that are Jewish. I don't see them with the flag of Israel on the back of their car. I mean, because there's not the same shock value.
Maybe.
So I think, from a person of color standpoint, a lot of times when they're seeing the Confederate flag, it's the people at these rallies that are showing it just to make sure.
Well, I think that's what the news says for certain. Like, in Franklin County, like, growing up, that wasn't the way that, in my area, that wasn't the people that carried it.
But that's where you're seeing these rallies. I mean, majority of the time when you're seeing these rallies, you're seeing it off the news coverage. You're seeing the most extreme pictures they can get.
Yeah,
Charlottesville's
probably,
you know, the really good.
Charlottesville's probably a.
Yeah,
Charlottesville. If you really like, if you can, it's probably hard to find info about it now. But Charlottesville was a conservative rally. It was like 98% like just,
and it got hijacked. Yeah,
yeah, man. It was a bunch of just like my Uncle Danny's. He's my uncle. He's just like got a mustache, just
same,
like normal
yeah, right,
American like Christian guy. Just a bunch of those dudes, and then a bunch, you know, a few flag flying idiots, and that's what you saw in the news. So it's
yeah,
right. Like, if I go to a Trump rally and I go to hear Donald Trump speak because I'm interested in voting for him and I like to hear his ideas on the country and I like listening to his speeches, I'm gonna be pretty upset with the idiots wearing the Nazi stuff on the outside.
Yeah, I agree.
Of the arena.
Absolutely.
That are making us all look like,
but then here's
idiots.
Here's the other part of
you
that.
You know what I mean?
And it's weird, but fellas, I think you should be allowed to be a terrible person in America. As long as you're not intentionally hurting people, you should be allowed to be a piece of crap. Like, that's part of how free market economy works.
That's a good part.
And if you want to be the piece of crap,
yeah.
Like, I'm not flying a rebel flag because that's not who I am. I don't get any identity from that. But, like, if that's the identity you get, and I'm not saying everyone that flies a rebel flag is a piece of crap. I'm saying if you want to be a freaking Nazi, be a freaking Nazi. You know what I'm saying? Like, be a Nazi. Everyone's going to hate you. No one's going to want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
But it's your right in America to be a terrible piece of crap. Listen, like, you are allowed to be that as long as you don't hurt other people intentionally. Right. You know?
And that's what happened to the Washington Redskins. The market spoke to them. It wasn't the fact that people were offended by the name. It was when Nike and FedEx said, we're pulling our sponsorships and you're going to lose a bunch of money.
Yeah, and the stupid part of that.
The market, the financial market dictated them changing.
It wasn't
the
financial market. Okay, it was virtue signaling.
They don't
want to change
their name.
It was virtue signaling by the people that sell products. I don't think people stopped buying Washington Redskins gear, and that's why they changed it.
They will when Nike says we're no longer going to.
Right. Well, that's virtue signaling at that point. That's what I have a problem with.
And so,
bye, JT. That's what I have a problem with is when companies try to virtue signal and control economics. Welcome back, JT. I said.
I don't know what that was.
For me, it's problematic when companies, aside from the market, try to dictate when they get so big, they try to dictate American politics. So Nike doesn't care about this. This is Nike virtue signaling a way to get more political power in a moment. Right.
Oh, sure. But it wasn't from the hurt feelings of Native Americans. It was when Daniel Snyder realized I'm not going to make as much money unless I change the name. And that's the market speaking.
But the market is controlled by virtue signaling idiots is kind of what Ken said.
Well, maybe so. But let's say if I run a sandwich shop and I wanted to fly a Confederate flag outside my sandwich shop, it's probably going to hurt my bottom line. There may be some people who are intrigued by that, but there's going to be a lot more people that are like, I'm not going to that guy. I'm not going to shop at his sandwich shop. And so it's going to be better for business for me to take that flag.
Yeah, but nobody cared.
With something else.
But nobody cared about a Washington Redskins logo.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. Like that.
But
wasn't
the only thing is the only reason I'm changing it. Well, yeah, but the market does kind of dictate your behavior. If I want to make more money as a sandwich shop owner, I should probably take down the Confederate flag and replace it with something that makes more people feel more welcome, so more people.
Or I can just like.
And
I mean,
that's just that would be the market,
right? And I get what you're saying, but I also think there's a place of. In America, we're reaching a point where culture is dictated by mob groupthink and what the mob says about, quote, the market more than what the market says about the market. Like, these people in power dictate the market rather than the market dictating the people in power. So Nike decides it wants to virtue signal to try to boost sales of their shoes, of the Kaepernick shoe, rather than And get all the sales of renaming Washington to whatever it's going to be renamed as.
You know what's going to happen? Nike's about to sell a lot more stuff with
perhaps,
the new logo
or,
with the new name on there.
Or
so
the
it's a big deal for Nike, too. They're going to sell a lot more Washington football gear this upcoming season
maybe,
than they would have otherwise.
Or people
now
walk
you're
going to
have people buying up Redskin stuff
or
and then buying
away.
The new stuff. Well, people say they want to walk away, but if you've been a Redskins fan for 40 years, it's really hard to stop and become a Cowboys
fan. I mean, I don't disagree.
Not everybody's
Josh.
But
I will say, and this might not be a good example, but I got to give it to NASCAR fans, guys, for being loyal. Because if you know anything about Bristol, Bristol sells out every year. Bristol is, if you don't.
It did. It used to.
Even up until.
It struggled recently.
This year, they capped it at 30,000 fans, and they had a really hard time selling 20,000. Now, the media wants you to think that's because of COVID, but if you have a brain, you know that the NASCAR fan is 98%, you know, on the right, and they don't give a shit about, you know, COVID right now. They're going to go watch a damn race if they want to. Well, they didn't. My question is why? I don't think it's because of the stages. I don't think it's because of COVID. I think it's because they spent a month calling their very own fans who adored people like Bubba Wallace racist piece of shits. So they didn't go to the race. That's what I think.
Well, I know a lot of people in my area, I've heard talk about it, and they said they're done with NASCAR. And they're hardcore NASCAR fans, and they're done. Like, they're out.
I've heard that.
And maybe they'll come back. Like, I'm not saying they won't, but, like, as of right now, they're done. Like, they thought the Bubba Wallace thing and the way it was handled was such an atrocity and an insult to NASCAR fans. And I mean, these are hardcore racers. These guys race on Friday nights. They race their own race cars.
Wow.
And they thought this was unfathomable to them that NASCAR just basically turned on their fans and created such a fake story and ran with it, you know. Mm-hmm. It is sad. Like, talking to Robbie and Doug last week, they're huge Redskins fans, always have been their whole life, and I think they're out. Like, they pretty much are like, yeah, I just don't care anymore. For one, Washington sucked, but they said on top of that, like, they said winning might change things at some point, but he said, I'm not going to go out and buy a new Washington gear. They're done. They're like checked out on it.
But if they're in the playoffs, next year,
but they're not going to be in the playoffs.
You can say I'm walking away. Yeah, it's the NFL. You never know. But I mean, it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Like, there's people that are like, oh, I need a new favorite baseball team if they're going to get rid of the chop. Yeah, you say that now and there's no games going on. But come playoff time, it's going to be really
hard. And that's why
what
you just said, JT. That's why I hate that Nike can control what happens, because the market doesn't. The fans didn't want it changed. They didn't. Like, fans did not want that crap changed. Yeah, they didn't. Like, you cannot find a Redskin fan. I guarantee you cannot find 1% of Redskin fans that thought that was a necessary change.
Yeah. But, again, who cares? I mean, if the Jacksonville Jaguars move,
nobody
to London,
cares about the Jacksonville.
I just had to buy a
nobody
London
cares about
Jaguars
Jacksonville
shirt.
Jaguars, JT.
Listen, there are dozens of us out there, and I would be like, oh crap, that's crazy. I guess I'll eventually have to go to London and watch a game. That'd be kind of neat. It'd be a long way to fly. I don't like flying, but I'd go and order me a London Jaguars.
I just don't like the idea
that
everybody has to follow the mob, or you're a piece of crap. And you lose the things you enjoy simply because you don't want them changed. And people try to change things that really don't matter. Like, that kind of thing bothers me.
Like, I'm not going to say this on Twitter because I don't want to be called a racist for a week. But, like, the chop on the surface, I get it. Like, it's just a thing. It's kind of like a mask. Like, it's just a mask. It's a lot more than a mask. And it's kind of it's a little more than a chop. It's like it's a tradition. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
That we've done since we were kids. It's fun. It doesn't really mean anything. Deion Sanders brought it over from FSU, and it's been this thing since 1991. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes it can be annoying when it happens in the second inning and a guy just gets a single. I get it.
Yep.
But I enjoy it. It's fun. It's when you are at an Atlanta Braves game and there are 40,000 people doing the chop, it's awesome. It's one of the coolest things in sports.
And it makes you different from the Kansas City Royals. 100%. It's part of your identity
it's
team.
It's part of the culture. You got the chop house.
you're
fun.
Trying to create a game day atmosphere is what you're doing.
And
you're
different.
Trying to create
and it makes
a home field advantage.
And through the years, I've heard different interviews from different opposing pitchers. And I've always heard things like, when you're on the mound facing Atlanta and their home, stadium and all those fans in the chop, like it's effective.
And,
like
this is what I do think is I think if the Braves are in a playoff race in the last five games of the season and they're playing against the Mets or the Phillies or whoever it might be, and that's their competition, that I think if there's two men on in the ninth and Dansby Swanson's up to bat and you're down by one, I think the stadium's going to be rocking and chopping whether or not they play the music or not. Like,
and just stop playing the music. I remember when the chop was organic and it was neat and it was cool. And to Josh's point, now they do it all over and force you to do the chop.
Yeah.
It's like, no, stop.
And they brought the whistle in.
When
the,
it comes
the
naturally.
It sounds like a band.
Yeah.
I mean, and so there's a fine line. Like, I don't think it has to be 100% organic, but I also think it doesn't have to – like, it's not racist to do it. That's what it comes down to, is when you do something and it's not intended to be belittling to another person, that other person takes it belittlingly, it's not your fault. Like, 100%, it's not. Like, I'm sorry. If I do something...
The gator chomp is a great example of this, right? Like, how
dumb.
I mean,
it's terrible. They should never do that again.
Yeah, that's probably true. But...
You know, I haven't seen much of it. I've been to Jacksonville the past few years, and
they got rid of it now.
I don't know. I think they've been getting rid of it.
I think it's just because they can't score, JT. Yeah.
Oh, that was probably.
Fellas, a couple things here before we wrap up. John Morosi was calling. You guys know John Morosi, MLB guy, little squirrely guy.
Yeah.
He was picking NL East winners, and he said that the Atlanta Braves are going to finish fourth. Washington Nationals were going to be in third. And his reasoning was the Washington Nationals had lost Nolan Arenado and the Braves had lost Nick Markakis, and that was why they were going to be in fourth. Josh, I figure you could agree with that reasoning. But,
I didn't know he said that. I saw a bunch of people tweeting about it, but I didn't realize that's why. I didn't realize that was why he
said Wes, did you see Wes from Coffee Town?
No.
Yeah. Wes, he was listening to it, and then it cuts to a video of him drinking coffee, and it gets to the Nick Markakis part, and he spits coffee, like, all the way across the yard. It's hilarious. It's really good. It's like, I can't believe he just said Nick Markakis was the reason – leaving the team was the reason the Braves are going to go to fourth, you know? we're very much of the opinion Nick Markakis has a huge impact on this team, but I don't think any of us think the Braves are going to drop a dramatic amount of games just because Nick Markakis isn't in the outfield. Like,
no.
You know, right?
Yeah. And if anybody thinks they have accurate preseason predictions of this wacko season we're about
he
to have,
said,
crazy.
He said he guaranteed Philly was going to win the East, that Bryce Harper was going to have a big year, and that if it didn't happen, he would run the steps in Philly in, I think he said, a New York jersey or something. I don't know. But, yeah. It was not a very good take by John Morosi. I mean,
that's
let's be
hilarious.
Honest. I do think the Nationals could take a step back. I mean, they lost Nolan Arenado. That's kind of actually a big deal.
No, they lost Anthony Rendon.
Oh, that's
Rendon.
What I meant. Not Nolan Arenado. Thank you. I said the wrong name. Anthony Rendon, that's what I meant.
Anthony Rendon.
You're racist just because they're Hispanic guys.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's because they're Hispanic.
Anthony
third
Rendon,
baseman.
You mean the guy that grew up in California and is like totally. I mean,
he's Hispanic.
Not,
I mean, he may be an American citizen, but he's still Hispanic.
He's definitely Hispanic.
He's Hispanic American.
Yeah.
Maybe he's Mexican American. Sure. That's the word we should go with.
He's
right?
also overrated.
Maybe he is.
He's not overrated. He's probably the best third baseman in baseball last year.
Where did he go?
Angels.
He's not as good as what's his name?
Austin Join the Riley? Angels too soon. Wow.
He's not as good as Ryan Flaherty. I'd love to see him at 300 in April.
Last thing, JT, Josh, you probably don't even know who this guy is. I don't know if you ever watched it in the mornings, but JT, I know you did. Mike and Mike Golic, you know, they split up the show about a year and a half ago, I think it was. Right. Trey Wingo and Golic went out on their own, especially on ESPN Radio. But Golic being forced out at ESPN Radio, not going to be with ESPN Radio anymore. They've apparently invited him to do some like college football analyst stuff. I don't know if he's going to take him up on that or not, but yeah, Golic out in radio. To me, Mike and Mike always enjoyed it because of Golic. He was the guy I actually wanted to hear.
He was the you had Greenberg, who
metrosexual,
was the Metro,
kind of a stats guy. Like we would kind of consider him that way. Yeah,
stats. A big sports fan, but was born and bred to be.
He's like a little Bob Costas wannabe.
Whereas Golic, whereas Golic was the ex jock, you know, big fat guy.
Played in NFL.
Like, hot dogs, beer.
Notre Dame,
Notre Dame, Eagles. Yeah. Was like the man's man. So it was a cool yin and yang pairing of the two. It was one of the few like listenable shows on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, and they played softball.
I used to love Colin Cowherd.
Yeah,
to
they played softball a lot. You know, they weren't the type to play hardball in interviews or get like really deep information.
Oh yeah, it's,
but
it's
it was a Sports Center type show. Like they basically kind of kept you up on all the events going on in major sports, whether it be you know hockey or baseball or basketball or whatever. You know, even. Professional eating. They would like keep you up on all those kinds of things a little bit. And so you at least felt informed when you watched the show.
It was when morning shows were fun. And now morning shows are like, we've got to have hard opinions on everything. And it not everything is up for debate. Like, it's not even the woke stuff. It's like, I can't sit another who's better, MJ or LeBron. Like, I physically cannot do that again. Like, stop.
Makes sense.
Stop. I don't care who you prefer, Michael Jordan or LeBron. I don't care. And like, that seems like half the arguments are Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp or Max Kellerman and whoever the other guy is there doing, you know, stupid debates like that. And I'm just like, it's like filler. Like, you have nothing else to talk about. Yeah. So you bring up some dumb argument.
It's like
you know,
the non-combination podcast. So, fellas, to wrap it up on this note, Netflix now has the Michael Jordan documentary, if you'd like to rewatch it.
Saw that.
I have not indulged yet, but I may do that at some point. What you been watching, though, lately? Josh, JT, reading or watching, feel free to fill in the blank here, but what you been consuming lately?
Last night, I watched one of the better films, very underrated, Home Alone 3.
Masterpiece there,
That's talked about a lot.
Critically acclaimed masterpiece.
Right. Last week I read Tucker Carlson's book, Ship of Fools.
How was that?
Which is really good. Really quick. It reads just like his show. So it's in that Tucker style where he's super funny and
a little
super
bit cynical.
Smart,
yeah.
And just very cynical. Here's an interesting fact about Tucker. He's from San Francisco and is a huge fan of the Grateful Dead.
I had no idea. Is that why you're wearing the Grateful Dead?
Yeah, right?
Because that's hilarious.
Well, I also like the Grateful Dead, and my wife wife bought me this from a shop there in Amelia, a Smathers and Branson embroidered hat that I saw months ago when we were there, and it was still there, and so she got it for me for my birthday because I like the Grateful Dead too, which is kind of cool because you picture Grateful Dead fans being like weird hippies that don't have jobs and follow them around for 100 shows and, you know, being total weirdos. And he talked about that in his book. He's like, look, the liberals I remember growing up that annoyed the hell out of me in California were like granola, save the whales, get rid of the nukes type hippies. And he's like, that's not what they are anymore, you know.
That's true.
Which is funny because when you picture Tucker Carlson, you don't picture San Francisco and the Grateful Dead.
True.
That's not – didn't come to mind. Just goes to show you that you don't have to totally embody every stereotype of a certain, you know, fandom to like something.
Says the guy wearing
the Grateful Dead, and not have. Well, yeah, you can wear the hat, but
you don't have long hair,
a
lot of weed.
Shirt and tie. I don't have the long hair and beard. Yeah. And
What about you, Joshua?
Yeah, I just like to be
watching or reading.
I've been reading the New Testament from the beginning.
How's that going?
Pretty good. I got to Mark and I was like, oh my gosh, I just read this. It's like the same thing as Matthew. I'm very confused right now.
I told the story.
And now I'm in Luke, which is
different.
Different and almost, you don't want to say better, but like just better.
Oh, yeah. Luke was like a historian. Yeah.
Yeah. Luke was a historian, physician.
He was
guy,
a doctor.
Right.
Yeah.
And so similar stories in Luke, but a little bit different.
I wonder if Dr. Luke would have worn a mask and thrown out a first pitch for the Washington Nationals game.
I wonder if he would have told you to wear a mask and then retracted that 3 weeks later.
Oh, no, that was Dr. Fauci. Anyway.
You know, speaking of in San Francisco, when you say I spent some time in Luke,
it's a whole different thing. Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm also,
I don't know.
By Billy Graham called The Holy Spirit.
Nice.
Interesting. And I'm rewatching Washington Spies. It's called Turn.
Turn, yeah.
Washington Spies. I had watched it like I talked about it on the podcast like 2 years ago. Like it was an AMC documentary or a series. And I'm rewatching it because it's on Netflix now. It's so freaking good. So great.
I've heard it was good. Yeah, I think you told me it was good, and I think I heard somebody else. I remember talking
about
it.
It's the best history series like I've ever seen. It's so good.
Did you ever see the John Adams series on HBO?
Yeah, it was
that
amazing.
Was fantastic.
Yeah, John. Yeah. What's his name? Played John. What's his name?
Yeah, I know you're talking about. My mind's blanking too, but
that one's amazing.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, JT.
I have no idea.
What is his name?
I was hanging out with some
John Stamos.
Speaking of like just history stuff, we had some friends over Saturday night who were, you know, kind of like
Paul Giamatti. Yeah,
Paul Giamatti. Yeah, some lefty friends over for dinner Saturday night, and they were recommending Hamilton, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was hilarious, but I didn't laugh because these are just kind of very, if you laugh at these things, they get mad. But they're pitching Hamilton to me and how I have to watch Hamilton, right?
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I don't know anything about Hamilton. I just have seen people tweet about it.
Yeah, same.
And so I asked my friend, I said, oh, that sounds really interesting. Is it like historically accurate? And she's like, oh, yeah, it's very historically accurate. It's the way they, you know, portray and tell the story of them is really historically accurate. And then, like, in the next breath, she tells me that, like, James Madison and, like, Thomas Jefferson are played by black guys.
Yeah, Alexander Hamilton is, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the man, they're all played by black guys. I was like, oh, cool. So it's historically accurate.
That being said, John said it's our buddy John Howard swears it's a fantastic
movie. If John recommends it, then I gotta watch it.
See,
yeah,
he hasn't let me down.
I could never get into musicals, and this is a weird thing about me. Like, I can't suspend my disbelief. Like, so, like, when I was like 7, I went to the theaters with my cousin and my grandma. She took us to see Aladdin, and they got on the magic carpet, which. Pretty racist, but they got the magic carpet, and he's like, I can show you the world, and then she starts singing, and I'm like, how does she know the lyrics to the song he just made up? That's, but that doesn't, how would
maybe
she
it's
know?
A, maybe
he
it's
just
a
made
common,
the song.
Maybe it's a common song.
And so like, when I hear a musical, I'm like, how do they all know these lyrics to this song that it's not a real song?
Hey, I went and watched Jersey Boys with my wife last year. That was really good. That was really good. Musical.
Oh, I did
watch. I could get into musicals.
I did watch Rocket Man recently. It was actually pretty good. It was actually really good, man. It was good.
Yeah.
It was different.
Which Rocket Man?
The
Elton
new one.
John?
The new one.
Oh,
yeah.
The Elton John. Gotcha. Yeah.
Did you guys know it was...
Not the one with Harley Williams.
That was Rocketeer,
Williams,
wasn't it? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, not...
No, there was Rocketeer. Rocket Man was Harlan Williams, where he's the dumb
astronaut.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this is like the new one.
He's in Half-Baked. Yeah. Yeah, Harlan Williams is in Half-Baked, and he's the cop that drinks the pee.
Oh, interesting. Gotcha.
My wife watched Rocket Man. She was like, do you want to watch a 2-hour Elton John biopic? And I'm like, no, I'm going to go in the garage and work on the lawnmower or something. So she watched it. And the next day,
it's pretty good.
I was like, how was the movie? And she was like, oh, it's really good. I didn't like the part where he committed suicide. And I was like,
Elton John didn't commit
Elton
suicide.
John, it's very much alive. And she's like, oh, I think he just tried to. And I'm like, yeah, he probably just tried to.
Yeah,
I love Mallory.
She's like, yeah.
Did you guys know he's gay?
Yeah, I did know that. Are you surprised by that?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, no idea.
His real name is
yeah,
Reggie.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Which is cool. I just go as Reggie. There's another one on Hulu
about the band.
Oh, nice.
It's about Robbie Robertson and the band.
Oh,
and that one's really good. That one's solid. Super, super good. Yeah.
Very cool.
I always thought it'd be fun if you went to a concert where the band played with The Who, and it'd be like an Abbott and Costello thing.
Who, the band?
Like, who are you going to see? The band. The Who. Yeah, the Who's there, too. No, not talking about The Who, the band. Yeah, I'm going to see the band. No, The Who. Yeah, they're there, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Nice.
One day I'll put that in my movie.
JT pulling out the... Abbott and Costello routine. That's going to do it for this week's Not Combination Podcast show. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the show and become a citizen of the nation, we won't judge you here, no matter how stupid your takes. Okay, we probably will, but we won't come after you with a mob. But you can become a citizen at patreon.com/NotCombination. Nation. Fight the tyranny. Would you like to buy some amazing shirts, swag, gear, hats, mugs, all kinds of fun stuff? You can do that at shop.spreadshirt.com/knockhomination and get all your gear. Fellas, it's always fun to see you. See this?
I'm making myself laugh.
The awkward smile on JT's face. The look.
I'm going to see The Who. The Who?
Stop.
Yeah, The Who.
The
no,
look
the
of
band.
Disapproval on Josh's.
Yeah, the band.
Here we go. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
No, not the band. Stop. The Who?
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.